at that point from there until the finish, man. It's a lot of self-talk and grinding. You're right about that. But just one foot in front of the other. I do all kind of little internal mind games. I do a counting game. You know, it's like when you start running, man, run to this street lamp and then I can walk. And you get to that street lamp and it's like, man, I can make it to the next street lamp. It really is those type of little games. And to the point where you do it for 31 miles, man, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's simplifying it, right? Bringing it down to smaller chunks.
That's right.
Love that. I love that. Welcome back to the Fireside Podcast Syndicate, the community where we help each other as experts, guests, and newbies, of course, that want to get into this industry. Today, I got an amazing guy in our community named Nick Collins. Him and his buddy run the Constant Quest podcast, which I definitely, you know, want you to go check out. But hey, Nick, how you doing today, buddy?
Man, I'm doing so great. I'm happy to be here, man. Thanks for having me on here, Robert.
Awesome, awesome. Now, tell me a little bit about your Constant Quest. What's your podcast all about? Love to hear about that.
Yeah, man. A friend of mine and I co-host it together, the Constant Quest podcast. We've been running for almost a year and a half now. We typically have guests on there, but sometimes we just record just the two of us, depending on if we have something in our own life going on that we want to talk about. But it's really centered around personal growth and development, personal growth in a healthy way, you know, not the burnout type of metric driven corporate America growth. There's a place for that too. This isn't an anti-workplace podcast, but it's just more focused on us taking care of ourselves as people, and also just like following our own intuition and trying to achieve great things and make a difference in the world and that sort of thing. And so when we select our guests, you know, we try to pick people that are in the grind, going through the struggle, but have their own specific angle to offer. So we can share, you know, a story that it may be somebody that has a completely different skill set than what we have. And so we want to highlight that so we can learn from it and also share it, you know, into the community.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, what kind of, like, let's dig a little deeper into that personal growth aspect of what you're going. So you're saying not the anti-work corporate. So what is the opposite to that? Kind of dial me in on your definition.
Yeah. So I said it's not the like grind more kind of what we see in the corporate world sometimes. And the reason that I say that is both my co-host and I were in the corporate world for a long time and decided to sort of leave that rat race. And it's in no offense to that world. If it speaks to you, then I think by all means, then people should stay there. It just so happens for the both of us that we sort of got burned out going through that metric driven type of lifestyle, always do more, always do better. And it became to the point where I realized it wasn't very fulfilling, you know? And so then I started to really do a deep dive on myself. I started to read more and learn more about self-care and stoicism and meditation and breath work and cold water immersion and different things like that. And I started to feel better about myself and who I was. And ultimately, it led me to the decision, Robert, to step away from my career of 18 and a half years. I've been going to school at night for a couple of years to become a mental health therapist, a counselor. And actually, our podcast was born out of a school assignment. We were tasked with recording ourselves, talking to a buddy to sort of see how we'll be, you know, watch how our body language is and how our disposition is. And so my friend Taylor and I were doing it, and we just had this phenomenal conversation. And we said, hey, man, we could probably be doing this. And so we started the podcast. The Constant Quest was born out of that school assignment.
I love that. That's so awesome. I don't always get to hear how things are created, but, you know, just kind of, you know, it's incredible when we're in that kind of world. Sometimes we're more creative. It's almost like we're pushed to be creative. So we're pushed to think sometimes, right? And when you get to think with your buddy and you get to actually come together, they say two minds is like 10 minds when they actually align, right? You get more than just two minds, right? But no, I think that's great. And I align with that so much on so many angles. Now, you mentioned quite a bit of things that you're tapping into that you're testing yourself, from like cold plunge, stoicism, a whole bunch of things here. Tell me, what is your morning like and what's your night like? Those are two very important things in my eyes. How do you work them with what you currently do for your own mental health?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I guess it depends on the day. I do try to stick to some form of a routine. You know, I've heard Jesse Itzler say this. That's how you and I sort of gotten connected, is through his community. But it's like, you should plan. And, you know, the next morning you may get punched in the face and have to deviate from that plan. But I do think it is good to prepare. And so I do have sort of a morning routine where I do a few things just when I wake up. And then I typically like to read, meditate, somewhere in the day, get a run in or some physical activity. It's typically running. I'm trying to get into the triathlon sport. So right now it may be biking or swimming. But I do distance running. I just ran a 50K last week at Badwater Cape Fear. So that's a big component for me. And then the evenings, you know, that's a good question. I haven't really thought about my process in the evenings. It depends on the day. I'm going to school at night right now. So 3 nights a week I'm in class. The other 2 nights I try to eat dinner early and just kind of hang around the house and wind down, maybe do some reading. So yeah, that's sort of what it is right now.
That's awesome. I've been doing personal growth for so many years, and I understand how important the morning and the evening are. And I try and tell my son that, right? My son's 6. Man, he can give me some hell in the morning and at night. And I said, dude, let's have a good day, right? And of course, he sets off and he's awful. And I'm like, man, I want to have a good day, little boy.
That's right.
Be up
Yeah, you're
running.
right,
Be
man.
up
That
running.
first hour can really dictate the way that the rest of your day goes for sure.
Yeah, my boy's a little rebel. He likes to go opposite on anything I say, right?
What
Six.
kids do.
I know. I know. They teach us, you know, you can teach me patience, teach me, you know, resilience in a lot of different ways. But tell me a little bit about the 50K, because I'm not a huge runner in that distance. You know, I've done 13.1 miles as my max, or 13.7 was my max. But that's something you got to definitely train for. You got to have that mental fortitude to push, 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 push. What gets you grinding in that area, and how long you've been running for?
Yeah, man. I mean, I guess it just goes like when you start to put yourself in uncomfortable positions and you take risk and you step outside of your comfort zone, good things typically happen. And so then it's like, okay, well, man, what else could I do? You know, what else could I try? And the running thing sort of came about. So I used to drink quite a bit. I haven't had a sip of alcohol in a week shy of 5 years. So
Nice.
next week I'll be at 5 years since I've taken a sip of alcohol. And I know that's not the right recipe for everybody, but in that, I started to run quite a bit more. I would say I was like a wannabe runner before that. I dabbled in it, did some 5Ks and maybe a 10K or two. But then I started to actually, I challenged myself to run a 5K every day after I'd stopped drinking. And I've completed a 5K now for every day for over 4.5 years. And so that sort of started me going in the running. And then when COVID hit, like, I couldn't do anything else. So the runs got longer and longer and longer. So I started in the half marathon, marathon, and then ultimately the 50K. I've done 5 50Ks now. And that's a mental and physical, but certainly mental test, man, big time.
Yeah, that's why I think it's great to talk about, because a lot of people think it's just running, got to be physical. No way, man. When you get long distance, it's mental. You're talking to yourself. Yourself's trying to talk you out of it, right?
Absolutely.
I remember Chad Wright, one of Jesse's friends, the Navy SEAL, he said he would park his truck halfway through the distance that he wanted to go. And when he would be running by his truck, his mind would be telling him to get in the truck. And it's so true in a lot of ways for a lot of what we do, right? You know, when you're actually got that goal and you're moving, I call that last 10% the crunch time, because that's what changes. That's the game changer. A lot of people will quit within that time period, right? What pushes you through that last 10%? Hey, listeners, I hope you're enjoying this episode. I do want to say that I want to give you a big invite to our community at the Fireside Podcast Syndicate. Come and find us at firesidepodcastsyndicate.com. Firesidepodcastsyndicate.com. Enjoy the rest of your episode.
Man, I don't know. You just got to keep going. It is like that. When you run the marathon distance, they say you hit a wall at mile 19 or 20 is kind of the typical time when you hit this wall. And you're exactly right. Like that's when the race starts. The rest of it is just getting you to this point where you really have to dig deep and separate yourself, from other people. And it goes all internal then. It's a one-man game at that point from there until the finish, man. It's a lot of self-talk and grinding. You're right about that. But just one foot in front of the other. I do all kind of little internal mind games. I do a counting game. It's like when you start running, man, run to this street lamp and then I can walk. And you get to that street lamp and it's like, man, I can make it to the next street lamp. It really is those type of little games. And to the point where you do it for 31 miles, man, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's simplifying it, right? Bringing it down to smaller chunks.
That's right.
I love that. I love that. Let's talk a little bit about the no alcohol because I relate to that because I quit when I pretty much moved down to the States. It got to a point, in my marriage that we drank just to drink. And I like to drink to have fun, and it wasn't going like that anymore. So I just outright stopped. And the other thing on that was I enjoyed thinking. And anytime I drank, I lost a couple of days of thinking. And I know that may sound weird to some people, but I think you can relate because
Oh,
when you
man.
get into personal growth, you never know what's going to come in your mind. And it could be an idea that could change your world, right? Tell me a little bit about what made you go that direction.
Yeah, man, I relate to that big time. I mean, just think about how many days you lost or would have continued to lose to, as you say, thinking, contributing to a relationship, your job, whatever it may be. I mean, I just think about all the days that I was groggy and maybe had 50 or 60% worth of myself to give. And man, that's embarrassing to think that I was just showing up and not really giving that for myself. I mean, for myself and my family and other people. So yeah, it became a personal decision to me. The way I look at it is like I just wasn't living up to my potential. And I knew that I certainly had more to offer in there. And it was habitual, like it becomes for a lot of people. Like you said, I used to do it for fun. I thought it was fun, and then it became a habit. And so every event that I did was tied to it. And I finally got to a point where I was able to, say, my potential is worth more than this. The net gain of not drinking has been exponentially better than, I had some fun times when I drank, sure, but man, I've accomplished so much more in this past 5 years than I ever would have had I continued. So for me, it was the right decision. It's not for everybody, and that's fine. But for me, it's been very valuable.
No, I totally with you on that. And, I don't tell anybody what to do, but I'll definitely share my experience on why I did what I did and
That's it.
how exactly like you said, my life has just exploded because I'm now focused on what I'm thinking, what I'm reading, what I'm putting in, who I'm hanging out with. Because when you're drinking, I'll tell you, I probably wouldn't have gotten in half the trouble that I got into. Actually, none of it. I would have got
Yeah.
none of the trouble I got into if I didn't drink. My
That's
whole life,
right.
right?
Yep.
And the depressed state if you don't have enough money to go out on the weekends when everybody else is going and now you can't join them. There's so much crap that goes along with it because you're right. The fun, no matter what it is, whatever addiction it is, doesn't become fun anymore if you continue it on. You've lost that thrill and now it becomes a habit of, depression in a sense, right?
Right.
And it's
And man,
almost.
all those residual gains you get after it, like you said, the money piece, that wasn't even on my radar of reasons why I quit. I mean, I probably saved 15 plus thousand dollars a year just simply by not drinking, probably more than that. But that's a nice chunk of money to put in the bank every year or do
Always
something
find
else
a
with it.
place for it, no matter what, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Except when you have the habit, you're like, how do I even get $200, $300? I got a friend that, was drinking a box of beer a day, which is 24, beers in Canada there. And, sadly he passed on his 49th birthday, on his 49th, when, I do believe that if he chose to take a better, healthier way, lessen things. I think he would definitely have been here, but it was, that happens to some people when they, take that level. I wanted to bring that up because it's so important, especially in this level of activity that we're talking about. I couldn't understand someone who would have that habit and this high activity. I don't think it would work out in the long run. And maybe when they're young, but I know it would catch up to them. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it catches up. I tried to do both for a long time. I think I was lying to myself, and I tried to put on this face and say, "Oh yeah, I'm good. I can still go run a half marathon or whatever it is. I can still do any number of things, right?" But I think I was just lying to myself and got to a point where I had to be honest and say, "Man, I'm kidding myself. I know that I'm capable of doing all of these things so much better if I put the bottle down." And so, yeah, it certainly has helped me a great, great deal.
No, absolutely. So tell me a bit about some of the guests you've had on your podcast and maybe pull out a conversation that really stands out.
Yeah, man. Well, oh my gosh, there's so many. It's hard to select one or two conversations. Our very first guest ever, we just had her back on again, so I'll highlight her because she's our first repeat guest. But her name is Nicole Griffin. She has a wellness company. She does mindfulness and yoga. And she also has these international travel retreats in the Middle East where she takes people to Morocco and Turkey and a couple of other places. She also has retreats in California that she takes people on. And so she came on the first time. We sort of focused on talking about presence. What does that mean? You know, how do we show up in our own life and actually cultivate presence, whatever we're doing, whether it's at work or being eating dinner with our family. Are we present when we're doing it? So that was our first conversation. And then most recently, when she was on, we talked a little bit more about nervous system regulation and self-mastery and sort of what those things mean. So we had her on there. We had a friend of mine, Rosanna Gill, on there that was focused around breath work. She's a breath work coach and hypnotherapist. And so we had her on to talk about those things. We actually did a live breathwork session in the podcast episode. So that was really cool. We've had an AAU basketball coach and director. We've had plant managers in the manufacturing world. We've had former CEOs shit, what am I saying here? CEOs of large companies, Fortune 10 company CEO. So yeah, the range is all over the place, man. And that was our goal. I think that, you know, my partner and I looked at it and we said, okay, we're two white men from the South. We sort of see the world the same way, but we're familiar with how we think and act, right? But we want to open up this podcast for an opportunity to learn more about people that don't look like us, talk like us, live where we live, have the same job we have. You know, we wanted a very diverse group of people. And so I think we've done a pretty good job of that. And that's brought so much growth and value to my own personal life. And that by itself is a success of our podcast. If that was the only metric that I knew is how much I've learned and the relationships that I've gained with some of our guests, then that by itself is enough to call it a win, you know. But fortunately, it's gone way beyond that. But
I'm so happy you said that because I think that's the thrill of having a podcast is that you have these incredible conversations with people you've never mostly talked to before, right? You might have had a small interaction, like you and I have never spoke. And here we are having a conversation that's so similar without us even knowing,
that's
right?
right.
And I think that's the cool thing is because you're right. I've talked to so many people on podcasts from quantum physics to meditation to leadership. And I love asking questions, like you're saying, so I can learn. Like, in a way, it's a selfish thing for me that, yeah, all the listeners get to hear, but I want to know about blah, 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 right? Like, and start picking their mind, like I'm doing with you. You know, just trying to see what you're thinking in regards to similar things that I may have went through or may be going through. But no, that's great. And I'll tell you one thing about the breath work, the Iceman, right? You know, I like diving and stuff, but I'm not a free diver kind of style guy. I hold my breath. It's not very long, to be honest with you, funny enough. And I'm not a very good swimmer, but here I am diving 100 feet, right? And believe me, I'm scared too, thinking like if anything messes up here, I'm done. But when I think about, I did that Wim Hof, right? And I held my breath like almost 3 minutes. And I'm thinking that I'm breathing. It was weird because I think because I had a lot of oxygen in my body, my mind was thinking very well. And I'm like, this is weird. Like I'm thinking to myself, this is weird. I don't need to breathe and I feel good. And I'm just like, how long can I make this work? Where are you at in that? Like, are you like holding your breath a long time, like a very long time?
I don't know that I've gone 3 minutes. I do some pretty rudimentary breath work practices on my own, from time to time. My girlfriend's a yoga instructor and she does some breath work through that. I'm familiar with Wim Hof as well. I read his book probably 6 or 7 years ago, and that was the first time I started introducing the cold shower before I actually did the, cold plunge and things like that. So I've gotten a little bit into it. I wouldn't say that I'm a master or a professional at it in any way. But man, isn't it amazing that you can do these things that are natural and they have this physiological effect? And I'm not talking about a manufactured drug. I'm not talking about any kind of pill or medication that you're taking. Those things have their place too. But man, isn't it amazing how we can affect our body and our well-being just by things like the way that we breathe, consuming water, like all these things that sound simple, and we sort of just are like, oh no, that won't work for me. Man, they work. Those things work. It's crazy.
Absolutely. Like you say, water. If we take enough water that our body needs in a day, we don't need coffee. We don't need all this energy drinks. Most people are thirsty and they don't realize it.
That's right.
I need like 75, what is it? 75, man, what I'm trying to think the grams,
Ounces.
ounces. There we go. I'm Canadian and American at the same time. I'm trying to think of what am I doing here? But like I need like two of these a day, which would be 80 ounces. And sometimes I don't even get one. And I'm thinking like, why am I so tired? Well, my body needs more, like
For
a lot
sure.
more. But
That's
no,
right.
it's incredible the conversations that two men are having here that like a lot of men wouldn't even talk about this, right? And I
That's
was
right.
talking to a gentleman in both actually the round table and the community the podcast syndicate here, and he does a lot of things with men as well, like going out and doing these bonding rapport building and stuff, and doing things that men just wouldn't do, right? That don't know each other. And when you drink, you seem to have that bond of like camaraderie, right? But you're drunk. But he's doing it where you're having that bond, or you're doing it with running. And I'm, when we do physical things, you get that same bond because you're working hard together, right? And you're pushing it and you're pushing your limits. Like David Goggins says, you do mostly, most of the people do 40% of what they have in potential. But when you're doing 50K, you're pushing it. I know you're pushing the limits, right?
Yeah, I think that's more than 40% of what I've got. It might not be 100, but yeah, I'd test Goggins on that one. I think it was more than 40% of my potential.
Have you ever thought about doing that last man standing?
No, I haven't really. I've done some backyard type ultras where they're the one lap at a time type thing. But I haven't ever done a last man standing race. I'd be interested in it. I'd certainly give it a shot.
I think it's around
But
your neighborhood, somewhere around there, isn't it? I think it's.
I think they have one in Georgia, I believe in North Georgia somewhere.
Yeah. No, man. If you're gonna do 50K, that would be a nice feat for you just to kind of see where you can push, right?
We have no idea what our bodies are capable of.
Yeah. No, I seen the last one where one guy, he went, I think he almost went all the way, and he was just a kid who just decided to try it. And he pushed so far. It was like unbelievable to watch. It's so incredible. But hey, tell me a little bit about your where people can find you with your podcast and that. Besides, of course, the community we can find you, but tell us about where you are with your podcast.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Anywhere that you consume your podcast, you can find the Constant Quest podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google, all those places. You can also find on Instagram and TikTok, the Constant Quest Pod. So you can check there. My name's Nick Collins. You can find me on all those places as well. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Awesome. Hey, Nick, I want to say thank you for joining me today. Love you being in the community. You're bringing tons of value to the community as well, especially that high energy you have. And I'm looking forward to seeing more about the constant quest. I'll spit that out properly, but
Yeah.
awesome, man. I appreciate you today, big guy.
Dude,
Thanks.
thank you so much. And thanks for making this community for people, man. It's awesome.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Thank you.